Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Charlie Rodriguez, who is a publisher of some Christian books. His website is tanglewoodpublishing.org. Some of the books he's published have included Statism 1, Volume 1, and Statism Volume 2. I personally have had the privilege to be one among some of the authors included in those books. And we're going to talk about the subject of speaking truth to church, state, and culture. Charlie, welcome to the program. So good to have you.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to be with you.
And by the way, I must say, I am honored to be in such august company as some of these other writers that you have in Statism 1 and Statism 2, D. James Kennedy, Frank Wright, C.S. Lewis, Ronald Reagan. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they are all in agreement. When you look at the book itself, Statism 1, Statism, The Shadows of Another Night, that was the first volume, and then Volume 2, Statism solemnly warned them. All of these writers, including Tim Keller and yourself and Reagan, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, Peter Lilback, Francis Schaeffer, Dwight Eisenhower, D. James Kennedy, C.S. Lewis, R.C. Sproul, John Frame, and a number of other writers, they're all in agreement, Jerry, that statism, or more accurately defined as when the government assumes responsibility for everything. In other words, it just takes the health care issue and as under the previous administration and wants to completely control that. In many instances, Jerry, unfortunately, the people give over that responsibility. I think this is probably more prevalent in Europe than in here in the U.S., but it is with us today. The people give that responsibility, unfortunately, over to the government.
You know, I was in a discussion, a very fascinating discussion, about 2 or 3 years ago with Dr. Richard Land. I love that guy. And he's the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, I believe, in Charlottesville or Charlotte, North Carolina. And anyway, we were discussing what was it that caused England to go astray. Was it because of Darwinism? And he postulated that no, more than Darwinism, what really caused England to go astray, because he said there were active church people in the 1940s, you know, during the war and so forth. He said it was the socialism. It was relying on the state instead of relying on God for your daily bread that caused so many Brits to lose their faith in the Lord. And, you know, that's got possibilities. Immediately after the war, they unfortunately voted out Winston Churchill, voted in Clement Attlee, and Clement Attlee, you know, systematically introduced socialism at virtually every scale of society in England, and Margaret Thatcher had to undo some of that, you know, jumping forward 3 decades later. But what are your comments about that, the link between, you know, socialism and, frankly, lack of faith in Jesus?
Well, there is a direct link. In fact, Mostyn Roberts contributed an article. Mostyn is spelled M-O-Y-S-T-O-N, M-O-S-T-Y-N, and then Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And on page 62 in the first volume, Statism, The Shadows of Another Night, Jerry, let me just read a portion of that to you, because he deals with that issue, and he's very, very honest about his background. The article is entitled Statism and the UK by Mostyn Roberts, and let me just identify who he is. He's a UK writer and a pastor. He is pastor of Welwyn Evangelical Church in Herefordshire in England, and but anyway, he writes in one part the impact of socialism, and here's what he has to say. As outlined above, this is a major ideological change in Britain over the last 3 centuries. There's much that is good in it, I believe it is part of the duty of the government to provide for the poor and those who cannot help. This has good biblical precedent in the legislation of ancient Israel. The notion of an individual providing entirely for himself can be as much of an idol as a nanny state, yet combined with secularism, it has produced a dependent mentality where personal responsibility gives way to receiving handouts. And he notes that, you know, he fell for this. They have become accustomed to this in England, and he counts himself as one, but he also sees the danger in this, because then you become dependent upon the state, and then the state has control over pretty much all of life. Now, it's changing in Europe. I just got news from my daughter in Sweden, and things are beginning to change there, and then Brexit in England, and then you've got the Le Pens in France. And so it's exciting to see things beginning to turn in the other direction. The pendulum is swinging the other direction. There's always a danger, you know, when the pendulum swings. But I do think that this is very encouraging sign in Europe.
Well, and here in America, if somebody prays, in effect, Our Father, which art in Washington, then we're all in big trouble. Now, you have a great quote here from Ronald Reagan. I want you to comment on this. He said, "There is sin and evil in the world, and we're enjoined by Scripture and the Lord Jesus to oppose it with all our might." It's nice to hear Reagan talking about our Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I found this quote in an article that I have bought the rights to, Abortion and the Conscience of a Nation.
Oh, that's
and
a great
book. And I found
book.
This quote. Yes, it is.
I own a copy of that from 1984. Yeah, when he was president, he wrote this short little book about abortion. And you own that now? That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Well, I got the rights from Judge Clark before he died. He was on the Supreme Court in California, California Supreme Court, and a very good friend of Ronald Reagan, and perhaps led Reagan to a pro-life position. And the reason that I love this particular edition, the one that you own, Jerry, is that Nancy Reagan did not want this published. It was an article that President Reagan wrote while he was in the White House. And Judge Clark wanted to publish it, and Nancy did not want it published.
Wow.
And I'm not sure what happened, but Judge Clark went to Nancy at the White House, and he was a very gentle soul, Judge Clark. Went to her, and he came away with permission to publish it. I'm not sure what he said, but I'm sure he was gracious. He was a fine Christian, and I'm sure that you know, things went well there. But this is the edition that I will be publishing, hopefully later this year. I already have the cover image done, and I just have to do other work.
So, in other words, the book that Ronald Reagan came out with in 1984 called Abortion and the Conscience of the Nation, something like that.
Yeah.
You are republishing it with permission. That's fantastic. And by the way, you mentioned Judge Clark. I barely know of him, but I do know this, that my friend, Dr. Paul Kanger, who's a great professor of history and political science at Grove City College, among the, you know, 10 books or whatever he's written, many best-selling books, but one of the books he wrote was about Judge Clark, so that's really fascinating. Okay, now, here's a great quote. I want you to comment on this. Martin Luther King Jr., "A just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or the law of God."
Yes, and this should not be unusual at all. If you've ever read
the Birmingham Address,
letter from a Birmingham jail, when you read it and digest it, this should not come as a surprise. And I feel that if Dr. King were alive today, he would be very much like his niece, Dr. Alveda King,
she's great.
A very strong Christian, outspoken, a gentle soul. But yes, a just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law of God. And Jerry, if we can keep that in focus, the moral law, as far as the state is concerned, I think that is our probably supreme responsibility as far as the church and its responsibility to the state and to the culture, to keep the state in check and to insist on the moral law. And, you know, if we can have organizations in the Christian realm and in the church that insist on the moral code and insist on the government not overthrowing God's law. For instance, the Supreme Court overthrew marriage and many other things that legislatures have done, state and federal legislatures have done to overturn God's law. This should be something that the church should just never give in on, and they should work diligently in this area. And I think that this is our prime responsibility.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Judge Roy Moore, you know, who has been suspended, unfortunately, as Chief Justice, at least for the time being, in the state of Alabama. But, you know, between jobs, between being Chief Justice and then being removed in 2003, then he got reelected later in 2012. It was the one good election that I know of in 2012. Anyway, he founded a group called the Foundation for Moral Law, something to that effect. And it's along those lines of the very thing you were talking about, where, you know, this organization is dedicated to helping people to rediscover natural law. God, can you explain what natural law is? Because I think today, with the widespread ignorance, there's even ignorance on this very important basic point.
Well, natural law is that, you know, derived from our understanding of creation. It's given to us. Scripture gives us the instruction there and the understanding that natural law, as the Apostle Paul defines it, is that which we perceive of God, his power, his might, is his authority in creation, and that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's given to every man, and that we have special revelation, which is the Bible, which God reveals to individuals. But general revelation is revealed to everybody, regardless. And there are many non-Christians who understand through general revelation. They understand the moral law, even though they don't really know the moral law. They don't know the Ten Commandments, but they practice it. You know, they don't, you know, lie. They don't cheat. They think these things are wrong. They don't commit adultery and so on. This is all, it can be derived in part through general revelation. And I think if the witness of the church can be not only as good Samaritans, Jerry, we are good Samaritans, and I think we do more in the world than any other nation, mm-hmm. our churches do, but if we can be good watchmen, and the listeners, please go to Ezekiel 33 and read about the watchmen. We are the watchmen in our society today are our policemen. They are our military, and they watch over us, and they protect us. But Ezekiel is warning the state and the culture about sin and what will happen as a result of sin. And so I think we have this dual role in the church to be good Samaritans and to be good watchmen. But unfortunately, too many churches think it's only to be good Samaritans.
Right, and they leave that out. Well, I understand that you would like to summarize in about 30 seconds on ways in which the church can fulfill its role in speaking Christ's truth to our culture, especially in this day when people don't want to hear it. And again, we've been talking with Charlie Rodriguez of TanglewoodPublishing.org, but go ahead and give us a closing thought here, Charlie, if you would.
Yes, a closing thought would be, and I speak to the choir, to the church in particular, that if you will do two things, I think this will help on a daily basis. If you will read devotionally, however you do a devotion, it may be just opening your Bible to a particular passage, it may be through the Bible in a year, do that on a daily basis. And if you will take your Bible and take your newspaper and put them side by side and let the Bible, let God's Word interpret what is going on in the world today. You know, be aware of what's going on in the world today. Look at the terms that are being used. We have a fairly new term, new to me, Jerry, deep state, which is shadow government, you know, and it's made up, deep state is made up of, in my understanding, liberals and in the media, in the state, and in academia, and all of these. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but all of these work against what we do in the state, in the church.
Right, and we're basically out of time, but I would refer people to your books, Statism, especially Statism Volume 1 and Statism Volume 2. Charlie Rodriguez, thanks so much for joining us. Again, tanglewoodpublishing.org for more information. God bless and all the best, Charlie. Thank you now. Bye-bye.